Hello, dear viewers. We're delighted to be here with you and on the program of Ask the Kabbalist. Hello, Rav Lightman. We've received a lot of questions, and we're receiving them always during the whole week, both via the phone and via the internet, and that's wonderful and terrific. So continue sending us questions, and don't be despaired. Even if your question didn't enter the broadcast, we promise that we'll try to put it on our next programs. And now we broadcast this program twice a week because we have a lot of questions that we receive from you. We broadcast it both on Sundays and Thursdays at 7:30 p.m. Israeli time on channel 66. And yes, so I'll just repeat our phone number, 1-700-509-209, 1-700-509-209, or via the site kub.tv. We'll begin with a question from Ina from Eilat. Hello, my name is Ina. I'm from Eilat. And my question is the Rav. When we are speaking about drawing closer to the Creator, drawing closer to spirituality by giving, by always trying to work for the favor of a person, the intention, does it mean that I'm compelled to give to every person I meet on the path, on my daily life, on a mundane world? It doesn't matter how I relate to that person. I'm not talking about children or family or people we really love, rather people that we live with on a daily basis, that we bump into on a daily basis, whether it's important to know what is my relation to each and every person. We've long spoken about the fact that the wisdom of Kabbalah doesn't pressure a person, doesn't make him to go out to the street and begin spreading whatever you feel like spreading and whatever you think he needs or whatever. We see the humanity in their organizations that give out food and everything to a person, but we don't see really good real results out of it. It eventually doesn't bring too much good. On the contrary, a lot of people who are in need are being created. Like, many people don't want to go to work and to manage your lives. The wisdom of Kabbalah says in advance that no, it's not the way you go. The right way to go is to teach the human being to put him on his legs and show him what is the purpose of creation. And also with respect to ourselves, if we want to go out and help others, we first need to study whether we truly need it and how should we do it. Because in the beginning we have to have the recognition of reality. What is it and to which purpose we need to go? Because eventually nature and the Creator, when they stabilize this reality for us, has a certain reason for it. Why are we in this dark place? Or we are in such a low degree in our nature to correct it. Not just so that let's play in something as if everything is good. Let's divide the food between us and everything will come in place, will be arranged. This world has to rise and reach a higher spiritual degree. And this can happen only by the inner change in a person. When we'll reach love thy friends thyself inside of us. And not that I'll begin giving things to the world and the world would be improved. It will never happen. How should Ina from Eilat relate to people that surround her? Like she's asking on a daily basis, I hope at work or something. She has to relate to them in a correct way, meaning in a good way, but to not begin to do actions that are not according to our inner desire. The desire would change. It is written that I've created the inclination of creator as a spice. It's not written that I have to go and engage in giving presents to everyone. It is written, I've created the evil inclination, I've created Torah as a spice. What does it mean? What is the meaning of these words? It means that we have an egoistic, bad inclination that is always pushing us to think only about ourselves, and we cannot, because our nature corrupts our lives, we cannot do a thing with it. We see how humanity degrades more and more. And the only cure is that if we'll bring the light that reforms, because the light reforms, and this light is like Bala Sulam is saying, you've read it once, I hope, and maybe you should read it again. This light comes only by the study of the wisdom of Kabbalah. From all the parts in the Torah, my light, and we study this from during the exile, when we need to go out to revelation, when we need to reveal the Creator. Then we need to pass and study the wisdom of Kabbalah. And so this wisdom is revealed in our days. And then this revelation changes us. It corrects us. It suddenly makes out of me a person who loves the others. Love thy friend as thyself. Suddenly I reveal that I'm in it. And then, out of this understanding, out of this feeling that I love them, I begin to relate to them, to give to them, to pray to them, to be impressed from them, to see what they want, to see how can I help them participate. And then I begin to participate differently, but out of my corrected desire. So let's summarize it and see whether I understood what you've said. Ina in Elat doesn't need to, now when she begins to listen, to hear about love their friends herself, to give out different things, and to smile to people and everything. No, she needs to relate them normally, nicely, normally. So that people won't think that she's, something happened to her. But she needs to study the wisdom of Kabbalah. And as a result of the study, something a lot deeper, a lot inner would happen. And she'll truly reach out of this lie where she's at today. When she thinks that she loves them or doesn't, she thinks only about herself. That's her nature, and she will reveal on the way that that's exactly her nature. That's the nature of all of us, right? So she won't. Don't be offended, Ina. So we need to know that first of all, we need to reach the recognition of evil, and out of this recognition, we need to reach good, meaning this change inside of us, that we reach both from hating others to the love of others, and this love of others, this urge that will guide us and lead us to the actions that we should or shouldn't do. Look how we're doing in this world. We need to study, we need to learn, we need to teach a mother how to relate to a small child. No, she knows it naturally. A mother knows how to treat the children naturally. That's the change that will happen. It's a desire would be created in such a way that I already know what to do and what not. Okay, let's move to the next question, Nadav's question, that is asking to Nitin, what should we do in order to make peace between Arabs and Jews? How can we solve this horrible struggle that caught to take so many lives from both sides? How should we change our way of thought? Only towards the light that reforms. We have no other solution. We need to understand that here we have to change our nature, both their nature and our nature, from both sides. And this can happen only if we, as the owners of the wisdom of Kabbalah, the ones that can bring that know the method, that can bring the light to our world, we are to blame that we haven't reached peace yet. Bala Sulam is writing about it in the article, in the introduction to the Book of Zohar. I teach it in my evening lessons here in Beit Kabbalah Olam. By the way, you're invited. Whereas if you're living close, can come here. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Israeli time, Rav Lipman is giving a lecture here. It's broadcasted on TV also, but 300 people can also be in the hall itself. So in those days, I teach this article, the introduction to the Book of Zohar, that everything depends upon the way we'll realize the wisdom of Kabbalah. First of all, the Jews, and then this light accordingly, this upper light that descends upon a person during the study of the wisdom of Kabbalah, also expands in the whole world, and we feel it, really feel in our senses how the world changes accordingly. And that's called the light that reforms. It reforms everyone, and this is why in the expansion of the wisdom of Kabbalah, as Kabbalists tell us, lies the key to change the world. And we're not only us and the Arabs, but also in general, the general crisis that we can correct only by the help of this light. And this is why the wisdom of Kabbalah is revealed today, not before. Beforehand it was forbidden to reveal it, but now, because of this great crisis and the revelation of the fact that we are dependent upon each other and that we influence each other so much, this wisdom is being revealed. The Kabbalists speak about the situation, today's situation. Did they predict it? Yes, they spoke about it. They said that from 1995, the wisdom of Kabbalah has to be revealed to everyone. And each and every one, to the extent that he feels that he has to correct oneself to do something, he's using it. What is it? What does it mean that they were able to predict it? What is that? Future telling? Or what? No, these people, when they see the way the desire to receive grows during generations, during thousands of years, during the last 2,000 years, from one generation to the next, and as much as the desire to receive makes problems, they see that this desire to receive reaches the point where we need to reveal the global world at the end of the 20th century. And this is why when we will reveal that we depend upon each other, and that we are influencing each other, like the butterfly effect, that we're interdependent, we're in the same village, small village, where we cannot run away from each other, the world becomes small, closed, interdependent in all of its parts, then we have no choice. We have to arrange the relationships between us. And to do so means to change these relationships from hatred to love, or else humanity won't be able to exist in this world. This is why the wisdom of Kabbalah is being revealed, because this wisdom can correct it. There's no other method to do it. But to bring the light that created this entire world and our ego, to correct what this light has done deliberately, creating us with this huge ego so that we would want to correct ourselves. Let's say we'd want to do it and we'll make actions in this direction. How long do you think it will take us to reach peace with the Arabs? No problems. A few months from now. If we'll take this method, there's no problems. There's no time, no limit to it. No limits to it. Everything depends only upon our relation. It can happen a few days from now, a few years from now, a few weeks from now, a few years from now, but it's something that is very fast and it changes immediately. If we would have been able to make an attempt, just try. We have no choice. We have no other weapon. And we'll see that even after all these wars, and this past war, this war that the Israelis have begun, it won't bring us no peace. This operation won't bring any peace. If not this way, then another way, we'll always have problems. That's what's written in the book of Zohar, that once the people, the sons of Israel, would return to their land, the children of Israel would return to their land, the people, the sons of Ishmael, the children of Ishmael, will not allow them to live here, and it is planned from days of Abraham. Okay, let's taste from the good of it. If you're saying that in a while from now we can have different relationships with our neighbors, because once we begin to study, we already begin to change the order, to flip, to invert the situation, meaning we begin to arrange the lights in the vessels, the upper lights, with respect to our world in a correct way, and then the light is influencing the vessels correctly, and the Jews begin to be above. Can you draw a picture of what will happen from both sides of the fence in Gaza? What's going on there? Let's see, we have the Israelis, we have the Arabs. Now, we are in a world in which we were able to jump a bit forward in the future, and people begin to listen, to realize the wisdom of Kabbalah. By doing so, you calm down the world with respect to the Jews, and from all the anti they have with respect to the Jews, and the anti-Semitism would grow and rise and reach great heights, and we'll see how no one in the world does to do. Once they hear about us, they all hate us, they will all reject us, and it won't help us to run away to any corner, any. I don't even want to speak about it, I don't even want to remember the Holocaust, but what I'm trying to say is that we have no solution. That's only what Kabbalists are saying. Give me a taste of the good. How will it happen? Here is the Israelis, here are the Arabs. And we are already in a world in which we've passed a few years, a few months forward. The idea of love of others is more respected in the world. What happens here? Everyone feels that they complete each other by the love of others and reach something higher than that. Reach an infinite, eternal fulfillment. Reach balance with nature. And nature arranges in such a way that there's no haters. There are no haters, no people who fight, who struggle. What happens there? Everything. Baal HaSulam is saying that then there'll be one law that will govern the whole world. You have oil and I don't. It doesn't matter, because the land belongs to everyone. We're all as one family. He's writing about it, and Kabbalists are writing about it from generations. the whole world is one family, like in that same ancient Babylon that widespread, and we actually belong to only one creature. We're all human beings. We all originate from the same soul. And the difference between the Jews and the rest of the world is that the Jews have the method of correction. And the same light that reforms can become the light for the Gentiles. That's what we have to become. And in order to attract this light, to correct the whole world, we can do it by the study of the wisdom of Kabbalah. So what we need to do is, like Baruch Shalom explains in the introduction to the book of Zohar, to attract this light. And then, like the light to the Gentiles, it will be poured the whole world. Today, in specific places, children are taught from small age, really, that killing Jews is the highest, most sublime action a person can do in life, because he immediately enters into heaven. Okay, so what will happen in this world, corrected world, that you have just explained about? What will happen? You just see that these things just don't exist. The light, when a light shines inside our desires, illuminates his path and brings one a certain development that allows him to see what happens to him before this body dies, after this body dies. A person sees that there's nothing, nothing belongs to these stories, these religions. The children that are listening today about those horrible things, how will they, if they'll be told about the special nation, the Jews, what will happen? Grown-ups and children will all receive the light, meaning they will they have light in their eyes. They will be in a state in which, as it is written, you'll see, you shall see your world in your life. They speak about the next world that they have somewhere in there, and that you should let go in this world, here and now. If they will kill the Jews, they will receive a ticket to heaven, and they'll see that in this light that shines upon them, it opens an inner vision, as it is written, you shall see your world in your life. They'll be able to see how, using what, they'll be able to reach perfection, abundance, and definitely in these solutions that they are now creating are vanished, they disappear, they don't understand it, don't see it, because it is a lie. Do you believe that it's possible? I believe that it's possible. You can change it in a moment. In a moment, the upper light will do it in a second. A person will just, these old perceptions and understandings that he was taught systematically to believe in will just vanish. And you have no other choice, meaning you can, don't take the wisdom of Kabbalah, don't use it. A few more, a bit of time will pass, and suffering will bring us closer to that out of lack of choice. Only the Kabbalists are saying in advance, out of their love towards humanity, they're saying, why should a Kabbalist want to tell about it for everyone? You can sit quietly on the side. I remember myself, that's how I used to sit. Up till, let's say, somewhere around until 1995, and I never thought that the world would need this wisdom. And I felt wonderful. It was a great thing, being alone, if you're talking about life as an individual. Both my business was on my fine, and my life in general were good. And I didn't like anything. But the time has come, and there's no choice, and I understood how Kabbalists worked, every Kabbalist in his own time, that one has to leave this small room and tell about it to everyone, because our good future depends upon it. So what can you do? You have to do it. You're working very hard. You begin your day before 2 a.m. somewhere, right? Every day. You work. It's not easy even physically, right? What is your drive? What is pushing you? Only the goal. That's how it is with every person, even in this life. You see, people are ready to for a certain goal. People are ready to break all barriers. What is your goal? Like I've received it from my father, from my teacher, I'm sorry. It's dissemination. Publicizing the wisdom of Kabbalah. There's nothing to do about it. That's the desire of the Creator. That's an upper desire, and I'm trying to realize it as much as I can. And I don't try to be more than that. Just as a tube to disseminate this wisdom through. If you would have asked me individually, I would have. Okay, let's have a small break and continue with other things. Only the expansion of the wisdom of Kabbalah in
between the people, we will be privileged to sense complete redemption.
בעל הסולם הקדמה לפנים מהירות ומסבירות.
בעל הסולם introduction to פנים מהירות ומסבירות.
ואנחנו ממשיכים. And we continue our program with another question. Let's hear the question, please.
Hello. I would want to ask a question.
They're about negative and positive people. There are people that are very positive, that are not angry and are not lazy. On the other hand, there are people that are born with negative attributes, as if people that are lazy and that are angry. Why does the Creator, who's the Creator, the Creator of the creatures with these or other attributes that I've mentioned, why does He do it? Why does He create people with different attributes?
If you're asking me, I think that those negative things. I think that these negative things, we're not asking about one's nature. There are people who are born this way or born that way, but the general soul is like, let's say, a system that has different parts in it. And the individual souls, as parts in it, they come from different systems, subsystems, negative and positive ones, because you cannot advance without the negative and the positive, because only in the connection between the negative and the positive ingredients you can life are being created. The same thing happens in corporeality and in spiritual. The one belongs to the left, to the right, to above, to below, and so on. And the souls, in addition, went through a breakage, and once they are revealed in our world, it turns out that we are both. We have our good attributes and our bad attributes. We're all still in a bad situation, a broken situation with respect to spirituality. The best people from birth are people who are opposite from spirituality. And this is why we're unable to sense spirituality, because our attributes are opposite from it. But what does it mean? What does it mean opposite? Let's say a person who loves people, who projects warmth and love. Why is he opposite from spirituality? Because his perception, his attributes are such. My main attribute is called the desire to receive. I'm stingy, I'm lazy, I don't know, different attributes. But these are negative attributes, but also good. It can be sympathetic, it can be sharp, smart. I'm good-hearted, kind-hearted. Everything's fine, but these attributes also ride on my egoistic desire. The way I enjoy the world, the way I realize everyone for my own benefit. So one is using everyone and comes with a gun and says, give me whatever you have in your pocket, and the other one comes and hugs you, and he's not aware of himself. He's not aware of that. He's not aware of what he's doing. But nature that directs him to behave this way, to relate this way to others, his nature eventually is how to use the whole world for his own benefit. This is our nature, and we have nothing to do about it. And this is why the wisdom of Kabbalah says the following. Don't look at whoever you are. As it is written, go to the craftsman who made me. The Creator made me such, I'm this. I'm such. And you, the Creator made you this way, you're this. But we're unequal. We're not equal. This is what was created from birth. It's now go and change yourself, correct yourself. And then you will reveal that the bad you are, as much as you correct yourself, you can reach a higher level than everyone else. Who's greater than his friend, his inclination is greater. Meaning if you, with your desires are bad, and you're lower than everyone, worse than everyone, by your correction, you can rise to become greater than everyone, better than everyone. This is why don't notice anything negative you have. When I come to the wisdom of Kabbalah, it teaches me to open a book. You open the book. Listen to television or something. Watch it. That's it. It will influence you and it will change you. How will it happen this way against the other different corrections you should experience? It doesn't matter. Let the light influence you. Let the light work. Allow it to work. It sustains you. It created you. It knows what to do with you. During our program, you point this book a lot, so I want to show it to the camera so that people would understand what we're talking about. This book is called Kabbalah for the Student, and it's the main book with which we studied Wisdom of Kabbalah today. And it includes all the main and most important writings of Baal HaSulam, Rabbi Yehuda Ashlag. And you've mentioned you can study via the TV, television, or directly, or
since the channel is on air, we have a lot of people who are addressing us and are asking of ways to study from a teacher face to face. And I really hope that in a month from now or more, we'll be able to arrange ourselves to answer your questions and appeals, and we will open different opportunities to study the wisdom of Kabbalah, Campus Kabbalah, we call it. It's an academic arrangement for 3 years. You can study the entire wisdom of Kabbalah, and we'll begin doing these courses all over Israel. So you can just contact us and receive information about it, 1-700-519-209 or kab.co.il. It's a different question. The next question is difficult. I hope the question will be short. No, not short. Clear. Yes, clear. Noah, through the internet, is writing, what is the spiritual root of circumcision to babies? Why after 8 days? Why should we mark the Jews, like with an external sign? And if you sign it, why there? And in addition, is it a custom that should disappear when the end of correction would come? How long time do I have? You have 3 minutes. Okay, 3 minutes. First of all, we speak about the connection between the Creator and the creature. And this connection belongs to one's birth and out of a person, the way a person gives birth to his soul. This connection belongs to, it's a sign, because it's the connection between the lower and the upper. This is why I have a sexual organ and spirituality. Okay, let's go differently. Let's go to a different direction. Okay, I'm sorry. We have in our desire, we have 10 parts. In our desire. In each and every one of these parts, we cannot use, because the desires that are found at the end of these desires are very egoistic desires. They're very, you know, heavy, difficult, coarse. And as a sign, we make a circumcision, a spirituality, meaning we cut off. What do you mean in spirituality? Who does it? Why is he doing it? When I want to reach spirituality, when I want to reach, bestow the love of others, and the love of others, I want to feel the Creator, the upper force, the spiritual world, my eternal life, I feel everything through the others. I can connect to others only if all my desires are truly can be incorporated with others, to exit myself, outside of myself. So I begin to reveal that inside all my desires, there are such desires that are called the stony heart. The stony heart. A desire that cannot be changed to such an extent that it can't be changed. That's how difficult this desire is. And then I chop this desire off. I cut this part of my desires that is called the stony heart and leave it aside. I don't treat it because it's more than I can handle. That's called circumcising myself. Yes. And now I reach this connection with everyone. I connect with everyone. I love everyone. And I enter into unity with the whole of the souls and with the Creator. This is why later I'm called a Jew, because I unite with others. And why in the sexual organ? The sexual organ symbolizes the root of the structure of our soul, which is called the Sfirah Yesod, which where we perform the corrections, because in our world, as a result, we have this organ. Because this organ is a place of the concentration of all of our desires. The greatest desire one has, the greatest pleasure we have here, is from sex. So it symbolizes the essence of our desire. Yes, that's how it is in Kabbalah. Yes, that's the essence of our desires. So I hope that next time we'll be able to elaborate a bit more. I don't know, according to sketches and whatever is written in Kabbalah, it's very easy to explain it, but it's very difficult to understand. But to cut it, and it's also written that we need to cut part of our heart, part of our desires. I'm sorry, dear viewers, we have no more time. Thank you, Rev Leipman. Thank you for being with us. Until next week, all the best and goodbye.